Then I decided to go to New Zealand. I immigrated to New Zealand.
He guessed about this bloke, didn't he?
Yeah. I think it was a cheap fee.
What did you do? Quite forward to a holiday there, yeah.
What did you do out there then?
I was a machine tool fitter.
Right.
Again, I was working at Fieldings in Hanford. I saw the newspaper, the Daily Mirror, actually. And I applied and I didn't get the job. I didn't get it. So I made my mind up then that I was going to race motorbikes. My goal then was to race motorbikes and stay at Fieldings. And then people used to come up to me and say, well, I was going to go, but I had Skittles on a Friday, or my missus wouldn't go with that. So I thought, well, I've got to try and make an effort. Didn't get the letter to say I didn't get, wasn't successful.
What, this is going to New Zealand?
Going to New Zealand, it wasn't successful. And then right out of the blue, about 3 months later, I had a letter saying the offer was now for me, because the first guy didn't turn up, or he backed out. And they would give me a much better package. 3 months in a motel, guaranteed wage, good job, place to stay. And the overall package was very good. Mm. So I went there to New Zealand and didn't know anybody, or a soul. And the guy that ran the motel was an Irishman by the name of Kennedy, who was one hell of a character. I mean, I'm saying he was spot on. So I went to start this place, and it was quite strange, actually. You travel all that distance and you think it's going to be a beautiful world, but I'm going to work and clocking in, you know, into a factory. So it's the same sort of thing. But the unique thing about that particular product, we made rolling mills, and you built them from ground level. So all the fabrication work in the world, you did yourself. Then you ran a huge shaping machine and shaped it. And then you'd make all the components yourself. So it was a bespoke build. So it was something to be really quite proud of.
Yeah.
But during the negotiations, when I actually got there, they asked me to sign a bond. And I didn't know what this bond was all about. And it was a guarantee that I worked down for 3 years. And they were the lowest paid in the district.
Mm.
And they were not the very good employers.
Mm.
So I said, no, I ain't signing it. And that led to a little bit of animosity. So I still stayed with them. I said, I shook my dad. I said, I'll stay with you as long as you want me, or I want to be here. So they accepted that. And moved to new premises. I went to Australia to pick a machine up, strip it down and put a big shaping machine up. Done that. And then new factory. And I was on a particular day, I was on a radial drill. And I had to change the drill. And you remember the foil tank?
Yeah.
I hit it with a lump hammer and I missed. And I smashed my thumb. Well, you know what it's like when you smash your thumb? It hurts. And it went black. And I went, uh-oh. And I felt a bit sick, actually. So I went to stores and I got a drill. Tonya's drill.
Righty.
So I'm in the bog and I'm drilling this drill out there. And you know the tangs, you know, the flute of the drill? Yeah. I pushed like that and it went straight through. And I passed out like that. And I don't know how long I was out, you know, come to, and it was the drill was still through, so I pulled him out like that, put some toilet paper around it, and I went out. And as soon as I got out to the door, this cockney manager tore me apart, asked me what the hell I've been doing. So I said, right, that's it for me, I'm off. So I clocked out and I never went back. And then I went back down to the motel. By this time, we rented the place. I went back to the motel with Kennedy, who was a really a lovely guy, a good guy, Irishman. And he said, look, Jim, if you've got something to do, you can manage my motels for me. So I become a motel manager.
That's a bit different.
But they took on face value, Alec.
Yeah. They
didn't know where your background was or what. But they took you as a person, which I thought was lovely.
Yeah.
They took me just as a person. I played rugby over there for.
You didn't get make the All Blacks, son.
There was an All Black playing called Tanny Norton at that time. He was the captain. And I played for the same side that he played for. I met Grant Batty. So I met quite a few. Socially,
yeah.
But the rugby there was completely different what you play here. It was so professional.
Mm.
You turned up at the ground, or your boots were checked. You went and played a game. There was no change of facilities. You went back home. So the social side of it wasn't as good.
Mm.
But fantastic rugby. I trained the kids on Sunday morning on the beach You know, the young kids who went out training them. Yeah, yeah. Big. If you're into rugby, I mean, you're halfway there.
Yeah.
No matter what you were, what you did, but if you played rugby,
there was something you could do out there. Yeah.
And I tell you, the most interesting things. I went and had my hair cut in a barber's in New Zealand, and obviously my accent. I wasn't talking like a dragon now. I was British.
Yeah.
And the guy cut me hair and said, "What are you doing over here?" And all that. And he introduced me to every person in the hairdressers.
Yeah.
To say, this is a guy who's going to come over, he's an engineer, he's done. So he appreciated the skill levels that you were taking there.
So
I stayed there for a while, and then decided that was, my mum was dying, so I came home because of my mum. And it's still a great passion for New Zealand, rugby.
Yeah.
Had a good time there. So,
okay, so you came back to this country, so after New Zealand, you've been around a fair bit of the world over your career.
I've been all sorts of, basically maintenance jobs.
Yeah.
But I think more than anything else, that is because the training that I had at Fieldings, every other place I worked didn't come up to their standard. I know that sounds so conceited, and it was crap, a lot of stuff that we worked on, I know we over-engineered things at Field, and I know that the product was fantastic, really.
Yeah,
it
was.
And so I had various jobs after that. Yeah. And then when I got to 30, a friend of mine was in the Territory Army, and I'd have a drink one night, and he was opposite where I was living. So he said, "Join the CA gym with me." And I joined the Territory Army, and it was the best thing I've ever done. Apart from going to New Zealand, but the best thing I ever done was joining the Territory Army.
Yeah.
13 years with them, and totally committed. I got sort of staff sergeant in the end, went down from the warrants, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I could not recommend it. I never had one problem at all, and it was like a family that I'd missed from Fieldings. That sounds so silly because you got family, but it was a camaraderie thing. Fieldings was a good camaraderie place. I
mean, it was.
It was quite unique in that respect.
Yeah,
and I think because, like Derek said earlier on, we knew everybody there. There was a lot of siblings. It was this, that, and there was a lot of characters there, Derek. Yeah. There was a terrific amount of characters, and still involved with maintenance rather than production of production work. Maintenance was really the route I went. Not very satisfying, but I did. I went to work for Rolls Royce, Aero Engine Division, at Golf Club Lane in Brockworth.
Right,
I was testing aero engines. My job was to put these diffuser plates in and that would the vertical thrust. And I didn't test the engines themselves, but I worked on all the testing equipment.
What planes were these for?
They were for the Harrier.
Oh, right.
And there was the NAT. There were all sorts of different aircraft engines that they brought. And from Anstey or whatever, from Filton. They would test the engines. I did have the opportunity to go to Filton to look at the way they built engines.
Yeah.
And the engineering, I can tell you honestly, being involved with engineering, it was tremendous. The amount of detail and work, very precise, very precision.
Yeah.
Very,
yeah.
very good. Then I then went to work for myself.
Oh, right.
I spent three or four years on my own, doing all sorts, roofing, building, anything I could really get my hands on.
Yeah.
And then again, it got a bit bit too cold, or a bit too.
I knew you were going to say cold.
But it wasn't such cold. I wasn't very disciplined with money.
Yeah.
I mean, that gospel truth. I went to work for Steel Director, more steel directing. And then, again, with a friend of mine, said to me, "Jim, there's some work going over at evening at a place called Fluid Transfer. Building lorries, building tankers and all associated equipment with fueling vehicles, fueling aircraft up." So they put me into a division that was doing military work, military vehicles, which I did, and enjoyed working for the Royal Marines on tankers and stuff. Yeah, really good work. But unfortunately, I got the sack, to be honest about it. Had a clash with this works manager.
Yeah.
Who we didn't get on. It's simple as that. Anyway, the upshot was I got fired. quite a frigging thing, that was, anyway. Quite a thing to be done. But anyway, I survived that one, and then took him to court, and then settled out of court, and I bought another Firebird motorbike. So on the number plate, I put sponsored by Fluid Transfer. They actually bought it for me.
Yeah.
So then, I was there for 11 years.
Yeah.
Quite a long time.
Oh, right, yeah.
I was a team leader, leading the team, which was good. At that time, I met two musicians who were on the same section as me. I was looking after a section. One was a lead guitarist and one was a bass player. So we decided to form a band.
Hang on a minute. This is a bit of a change again. So what instrument did you play? Or were you the singer?
Well, I bought a Fender guitar, and I was going to play the guitar, but I never really got round to it. I just tinkered, because I put the video on, and about 10 minutes later they were playing all the licks in the world, and I couldn't get the end of it. So I happened to mention to these two lads that was working for us, and one was a lead guitarist, like the Shadows stuff, which I couldn't stand, and they brought his guitar in when dinner time, and so I started singing, and it sounded okay, and so we formed a band after maybe 4 or 5 months, called the Stiff Nuts. Because we were putting these bloody awful lorries together, like a bulk job, and we had Stiff Nuts on, so we called ourselves the Stiff Nuts. And so we'd done quite a few gigs, and we lost our drummer, he went somewhere else. And then during that period of time, I was still working at Fluid Transfer. But the music really took over quite a bit.
Oh, really?
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I got asked to join another group, a band, and they were Cliff Richard's tribute band.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't get to do too well on that one, to be honest. Yeah.
So you became, were you... you were one of the Shadows then?
Yeah, one of the mystery Shadows. So we... I did some work with them, but it wasn't really it wasn't really me, you know. I didn't like the music out. Right? So then I got asked to guest for a three-piece combo band. True story this. So they had a gig. Good friends of mine, you know, in the music circles, they were good friends. So anyway, they had a gig booked at Berryhill Rugby Club. Band on a Friday said, "Jim, can you guest for us?" I said, well, what kind of stuff do you do? He said, well, it's all middle of the road stuff. It'll be okay. You know, you can manage it. He said, come round our place for an audition. So I went to his house, and he's there playing these licks. And he said, can you do that? I said, yeah, I'll go with that. So I said, yeah, I'll do it for you. He said, Jim, have you got any black trousers? So I said, what do you mean, have you got any black trousers? He said, well, we dress up to go on stage. He said, black trousers and a red shirt. I said, I ain't got nothing like that. I said, I've got black jeans. And he said, that'll do. So they picked me up from here, and off he went, the minibus,
Berryhill.
Berryhill, right. So I'm in the bar, right. It's about 6 o'clock. And the wee barmaid is quite an attractive wee girl. So, and they had a brew called Murphy's.
Yes, right? Know it well.
So
yeah.
I said, how much is that Murphy's? She said, it's £1 a pint on promotion. I said, how much you got left? He said, we've got about 10, 11 points left. So I said, I'll have the lot. So I give him the money. And I started drinking at 6 o'clock.
Ooh.
Whether it was nerves or what, I don't know. But the rest of the band members had all their women and their girlfriends with them, you know. And they're socialising. And we were the last act on. I mean, there was a girl singer, comedian, all this kind of thing. See? So they gave me this red shirt to put on. And it was about 6 sizes too small. and the buttons were extremely like out, you see. So anyway, he said, what we'll do, Jim, he said, when we're going to go on, he said, we'll start doing I'll introduce you, and the door, you've got two swing doors like that, right? He said, we want you to come through the doors and watch at the stage like that, you see. Gospel, I said, all my life, right? So I said, okay.
By this time, he's smashed, obviously.
I had a few, but I was okay, I was on a few. Anyway, over the mic, he's going, ladies and gentlemen, our lead singer is not available, he's indisposed. Didn't say he was indisposed. However, we've got Jim, who we don't know what he's like, but we give him a go. I thought, that's a great thing. So I come through the doors, it's gospel truth, like a Wild West show, you know, come through the door like that, it's swinging like that, and I went, aww. And the people look around, who the hell have we got here? So as I'm going forward, I do that, you know, when you put one foot behind it and you trip.
Yeah.
I did that, you see, and people are going, solemn face, you know, what the thing have we got here? Because the bandsman, so he gets on the stage, and I got bins on, right? I've got glasses. So a bit vain, I didn't want to wear any glasses. So I've got the lectern in front of me, like that, with all the words on it, just promoting that, prompting. So I gets down there, let's see, and as I went down to pick up some music, me edit the mic, and the mic from off the stage. And all the music went all over the place, let's see. Of course, people, the thing's a comedy act. So it's still going on, it's like a piece of So anyway, I picked it all back up again, and I don't know what made me say it, but anyway, I said, I know the forest very well. And the people are looking at me like totally. And I said, yeah, I said, I remember when I used to come over to pick up women. And I said, but I tell you what, the sheep were much prettier.
Oh, dear.
It was broke. Yeah, I couldn't have said nothing worse, could I?
No.
So, anyway, done the gig, went down really well. I mean, clapped and did an encore and everything last night. And on the back of that, they got a regular booking for, but they wanted the comedian. By that time, I'd done enough. And they paid me. I got paid. So from there, I went to form two other bands. I formed another band with a really good Welsh lead guitarist. Recorded some records, you know, on CD. That really dispersed a little bit. The drummer was a professional drummer, semi-professional, and the commitment was there by me, but not by the rest of them. So it's like a lot of team of people. You've got to get on. You don't get on. So, excuse me, I went back to some friends of mine called the Stiff Nuts, who had formed with, who were again friends. And we practice about every second week. That's where I'm at the moment. And I love blues music. I'm a great fan of blues. And I mean motorbikes. I mean rugby. So that's where we're at the moment.
Okay, well, thanks, Jim. I mean, we started off talking about fieldings, but...
But you asked me about the...
You've done a heck of a lot in your life. It's nice that you've got, you know, music and...
I think you
obviously enjoy it, and the motorbikes, which I remember. There is one thing about motorbikes that I would like you to verify.
Yes.
Going back to fieldings, we used to have a bike shed, if you like.
yeah.
And we all, yeah, he knows what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
We used to park our bikes underneath this shed. Well, it was a corrugated iron half-round roof held up on some steelwork, and the bikes were just sheltered under there. Now, I had a 500 BSA single, but you had the same bike, but you had the Go Faster equivalent, the high compression one.
Yeah, good.
And the rumour was at the time that Jim always had to put his crash helmet on before he kicked his bike over. Because one day you were doing that, and you hadn't got the advance, getting a bit technical, you hadn't got the advance and retard sorted out, and the bike backfired, lifted you in the air, and thumped your head against the corrugated iron.
True.
Now, is that true?
That is true. Yeah, the bike was an AJS 500, and underneath the barrel, you could take an eighth of an inch plate out to increase the compression. So I did that, and I done it up, and I based it, I put tip-ons on it, and I put all sorts of, I tuned it up to a big, a great degree, but in tuning it, I messed up the advance and retard. So the advance and retard lever, you know, is I don't, and if you get it in the wrong place, it kicks back, and it was a kickstart.
Yes,
and
proper start.
Being a bit slight, I'd have to start it on the centre stand, and it kicked back, and I might hit the roof. Yeah, that's true. So I always wore a cash on when I started it.
I wasn't there, but I heard the story, that's great. Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Jim.
No, thank you, Alistair and Derek, for coming over your time. You know, really appreciate it. Nice to go back to the memories and in reflection, that those 6 years that I spent in those early years, then it's still fresh today. And you can't see much more than that, can you, really?
No.
Yeah.
And I think that takes you on the path, whether it was the right path, I'm not sure to say, but...
It influenced you.
Yeah, I mean, I think more than anything is the fact that at that time I had the opportunity to work away from home, and I think meeting people and meeting different cultures, and always in the north. I mean, I went to Scotland, I went to Newcastle, Liverpool. I mean, I was lucky enough to have those, but I had no discipline. I mean, a lot of the lads that went away made money at it, and they made it. I just went for the fun.
And that really was.
Stands today. You're gonna have fun.
You're gonna enjoy it. Yeah, I can see that you have enjoyed yourself, and you are still enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Jim.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Tea and cake now.